chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Debbie Portell Morris on the show today. Debbie is an owner in Integrity Training Systems and Sophie's Bakery. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Debbie, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I have been looking so forward to doing this with you.
Oh, me too. I just am excited to spend the day with you, right? If we have to do it, you know, an audio version, let's do it.
Let's do it. Yes. And I will just say every time I'm with you, I come away a better person. I just cannot wait to introduce you to our listeners. But, you know, I have to say, so you and I were introduced. I always love to go back and tell our listeners kind of how, you know, we meet, you know, and how those connections are made. But two different people, actually, Becky McDonough, who is a friend at MasterCard. One day we're having coffee and she just talks about you and starts telling me, oh my goodness, this has changed my life. And then another mutual friend of ours, who happens to be both of our functional doctors, is Dr. Bashima Williams.
Love her.
And as you know, our daughter Paige has had some autoimmune things. And she's like, I really want Paige to start meeting with Debbie and Debbie Portell Morris. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that's the same lady that Becky told me about.
And, yes.
The rest is just history. We've become dear friends and we love your family. But let's talk a little bit. I think you grew up in St. Louis, right, Debbie?
Yes. I mean, my family's from Kansas, but I was the one member of the family that didn't have any Kansas roots. So my parents moved down here. My dad started working for the Department of Defense. And we just, you know, would go back to Kansas several times a year. But for the most part, I was born and raised in St. Louis, South St. Louis. And then I've lived out here in Lake St. Louis for probably close to 15 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know just in reading, you know, your story, you know, you had an amazing mom and dad, amazing mom and dad. In fact, you say your dad really was your first motivator. He was really the inspiration a lot for what you're even doing today, Debbie. He worked out, he rode bikes, he played team sports, he played hockey, and you even learned to play hockey. Ice hockey.
But I did, yes.
You said, yeah, whatever your dad was doing, you wanted to do. And really and truly, you and I have not talked about that, but we share that because I was the same way. I was such a daddy's girl. If my dad was roofing the house, I was on the roof with him. Whatever my daddy was doing, that's where I wanted to be. So you and I have that in common. But your dad was a huge inspiration for you.
He was. He brought me to the gym for the first time. I was in gymnastics and the coach said that my bars were a little weak. You know, I was having a difficult time working the bars. And so he brought me to the gym, you know, and just started strengthening me. He introduced me to trainers and I started training with trainers at a fairly young age. But I mean, I was in the weight room in the sixth grade trying to get stronger. But I watched my dad work out 6 days a week. He took one day off, but he worked out 6 days a week. He would run, he would lift weights. He always made it a priority, and I always wanted to do exactly what he was doing. And I aspired to have muscle and to be strong from a very young age, but also just be great at sports. You know, I always wanted to be good at sports. And then when we would eat out, my dad would get a vegetable plate, and, you know, maybe he would get a hamburger every now and again, but he didn't eat a lot of bread. He always ate a lot of vegetables. And so I would always eat whatever he was eating. I didn't care if it was okra. I didn't care if it was turnips. It doesn't matter. I just ate whatever dad was eating. We love my mom so much. She's the sweetest woman. Yeah, we would do everything we could for my mama, and we would take good care of her. And it was like she was just nestled with love. But my dad and I were just partnered on things, and he was a great motivator.
Yeah, that I love that story. Well, you know, and Debbie, to the point you said, you know, you started working out with weights or lifting weights when you were in sixth grade, but I read 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, you started working out at George Turner's gym, right? And to be honest with you, I didn't even really know. I should know who George Turner was, but I did do some research on him, and he's really, you know, really an icon. He published articles in Muscle Magazine and Iron Man. I read one little testimonial about him from a 40-year-old that had worked out with him. And this person said, you know, even though at the time George was in his 70s, he looked better than I did when I was 40.
We have a picture of him hanging in our gym. And I believe he was in his late 50s in this picture, maybe early 60s. And he looked amazing, you know, competitive, you know, looking bodybuilder body. But he just really had a knowledge that a lot of other people didn't have. And I feel like it was an honor that I was able to even spend the amount of time that I spent in his gym, around his trainers, also just around the level of committed, hardworking bodybuilders that I was able to spend time around. You know, they took it seriously and were very committed to it. And I learned a lot from it.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Now I know, unfortunately, George, I believe, passed away in 2013 at the age of 85. But, you know, he was an icon, and he really, I read something about him. He didn't believe in any kind of supplemental drugs or anything like that. You know, it was all just hard work. You know, yes. And I think I'd read from you, you said one of the things that you learned was that if you would give 50%, you would get back 50%. If you would give 100%, you get back. You reap what you sow. Isn't that a beautiful lesson, Debbie, for all kinds of things in our life?
Yes. You know, I think it's just about commitment. I think George tried to bring that out in people. And so did, you know, other mentors that I've had in the fitness industry. They just taught me to take a client and to bring out the very best in them and to teach them to live that out every day in all areas of their life, not just in the gym. But what you do in the gym sometimes makes you so much more confident in all other areas of your life. And so then you start to give 100% in those other areas too. It's just a trickle down effect, and it's amazing to watch it happen in people's lives.
Yeah. And I know you're so good about that. And I want to talk more about what you're doing today, because you truly, I think you say, really, you are a life changer, and getting to watch people live their best lives, I know, is so gratifying for you, Debbie. But, you know, I want, before we hop into what you're doing today, I really want to talk about kind of how you started. And I believe you started in the financial industry, right? Your career?
Yes. Yes, I did. Even out of high school, you know, the last year of high school, I worked for Edward Jones. They would allow you to work half day and then, you know, work half day, you know, at Edward Jones, and they go to school half day. And then they supported college tuition as well. So I was able to keep studying, working for Edward Jones. From there, I went to work for the Mineta Group. And then from there, I helped to create a company called Argent Capital, and came home from work one night and I just passed out in my driveway. I literally passed out and went to the hospital via ambulance. And I ended up on a really long path of healing, which is ultimately what ended up bringing me into nutrition and, you know, just health in general.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So you're like working your little heart out in the financial services. All three of those are in the financial services area. And I think it was about the year 2001. And yes. You had this pivotal incident. And it took you, I can't remember exactly all your symptoms, Debbie, but you knew that it wasn't right, you know, and you actually had to be taken away by ambulance. And it was quite a journey. I think you said you had to eventually quit your job, didn't you? You just couldn't, you couldn't continue to function.
Yes. I mean, I got to a place where I actually went down to like 88 pounds and I was very wiry and shaky and very unstable. A lot of times I had to be carried back and forth from room to room. And it was very shocking how fast it happened. You know, even at the time, my boss thought I maybe had a flu. And so when I went to tell him that I wasn't going to be able to work for him anymore, I mean, he just looked at me like, well, how's that even possible? You know, we were so committed, you know, to all this. I just don't think he could believe that I could possibly be that sick. And it took me 2 years to really finally get to a place to where I could even consider thinking about working again. A very long 2 year journey, 22 different doctors, you know, going from 88 pounds to 150 pounds and then 150 pounds back down to 120 pounds, but really just learning a lot about my body along the way and learning a lot about functional medicine and how important nutrition is, for sure. It saved my life.
Yeah. And probably at that time, you were probably still working out, Debbie, but you probably during that time and being in the financial industry world and just working, you probably may not have been eating the best. And so you learned so much about nutrition during that time. You were diagnosed with an autoimmune. Some of our listeners may have the same autoimmune disease, the Hashimoto's, right?
Yes. And then, of course, at the time in the beginning when they diagnosed me, I had leaky gut, a pretty extraordinary case of it, a lot of issues that were stemming from that. So it was just a big storm. You know, unfortunately, my little body was just being attacked. And it was like we had to lasso it to get it to calm down, you know, and we started that process with nutrition primarily. I mean, that was the first step in the healing journey for sure.
Yeah. And as you know, and she would not mind me saying this because I've been very vocal about this with her permission, but our middle daughter, Paige, has had her own journey the last 3 years with some autoimmune. And boy, it is amazing how quickly those things can come on and just take you out, you know, but slowly but surely. Debbie, with people like you in her life, people like Dr. Bashima Williams, I mean, she's progressing and she's learning more and more all the time. And so, but I want to talk to you about this because there's a story about you, you know, this, and I just know Paige in her journey and with us too, there's been so many times where we have just felt so hopeless. And Paige deals with chronic pain. And I feel for people that deal with that chronic pain because it can be so wearing on you mentally. And I know that there have just been times, and she has said to us, if you guys hadn't kept pushing, I would have given up, you know? So we need tribes around us. But absolutely. I want to talk about this because you... Yeah, this was hard. This was hard for you. And you were young. You were under 30 years old, Debbie, just like Paige has been. But you said that one night you turned on the television and there was a pastor on the TV saying, "Have you lost all hope? Do you feel like you will never get out of the situation that you're in? There is hope in Jesus. Give your heart to him." And you said, what happened, Debbie?
Well, I, you know, just kept answering his questions. I was in the room alone and he said, "Have you lost all hope?" And I just looked at the TV, looked around the room like, what? I mean, I just was like, how could he know? You know, and I said, yes. And, you know, and he went through the series of questions and I just kept answering them. And so I picked myself up and went into the bathtub, which again, that was a hard thing to do when you're alone in that week. And I laid in the bathtub and I cried, which I'm not a very emotional crier, but I just started crying. And I just said, "God, if you're real, I will live the rest of my life for you if you show me how to do it and you show me that how to get better, you know, show me the path, you know, show me the path to healing. I'll dedicate everything I do to you. And from that day forward, that's what I did. I asked my dad for a Bible and I started reading it from beginning to end. At one point I said, I think I need to be baptized. And so I was carried into a church and I was placed into the baptismal. I was lifted out. I was carried out of the church. I just believed it was time. I needed to be baptized. And I just started acting as if I was healed. So instead of waking up every day and praying, God, please heal me, I wake up every day and praise God for healing me. Even though I hadn't manifested any of that yet, I was still very sick. I would just wake up every day believing God that that was happening. And I had such young faith, but I had this amazing group of faith of folks around me. And once they found out that I'd made this decision, they just kind of swooped in and really helped me build a foundation of faith. And I'm so grateful to them still to this day, you know. But I think really that is what was the first catalyst to saving my life, you know, and creating a life of substance. Because before, what I was chasing after was just worldly possessions and worldly power and all that was behind that. And it was wonderful opportunities. I worked for great people and I was very thankful for the opportunity. I learned a tremendous amount, which I still use today. But at the end of the day, right now, what I'm doing is God's work and He's called me to do it. And I jump out of bed every day to do it. And I am so thankful and so grateful to be able to do it.
Yeah. And I cannot wait to dig into this more, Debbie, because it's not a job. It's not a right? job for you. It's a calling.
Yes.
It's a
calling.
Absolutely.
You know? Absolutely.
You feel called to do this work. And I cannot wait to talk about it more. We do need to take a quick break, though. And then we will be right back with Debbie Fortell Morris on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my dear, dear friend, Debbie. I just love her so much. And I know our listeners, I know that you're just going to just love this episode. And I know it's going to help you on your own journey. But Debbie, so let's just talk about this. So really, there was all these turning points in your health. You're learning more about yourself. And one of the things that you learned, and this is you started studying nutrition, but you learned that your blood type, I think your blood type was O, and you said that you needed to avoid certain things, right? How, you know, tell us about that and why is that important? I mean, because if your blood type is O, there are certain things you should not be eating, right?
Right. Well, I went to, finally, the 23rd doctor that I went to was a homeopathic MD in Webster Groves, wonderful guy, and spent almost 2 hours with me on my first appointment. But his first question for me was, what is your blood type? And I said, well, I have no idea. And I honestly had no idea. And I meet with clients all the time that do not know. But well, he said, well, let me go run a quick test. He did a quick blood sample and he was able to determine it. And he said, well, you're eating all the wrong foods. And I said, oh, no, that's not possible. I'm very, very strict with my food. I changed everything. I went to two different registered dietitians. I paid them out of pocket. I do everything that they tell me to do. And he said, well, it's all wrong. And it's a big part of why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And we looked at him like he was crazy. There's no way it's wrong. So he said, you cannot have gluten. You should not be having dairy. You should not have corn. You should not have pork. You should not have shellfish, no peanuts, no beans, none of these high histamine producers that were specific to my blood type, but also just high histamine producing. So I went home and did everything that this man suggested to do. I mean, to the letter. And I couldn't make it down the stairs by myself. And that next day, I woke up and I walked down the stairs. I mean, I would have to sit. If I was going to go by myself, I'd have to sit and actually slowly go down stair by stair without feeling like I was going to pass out. And I walked down the stairs to the kitchen, and I'll just never forget it. You know, you take so many things for granted. Like, I was able to walk myself down the stairs. So that was the first turning point. You know, there were the food change things. And then it was crazy. There were just things like, I wasn't clearing my throat anymore. I didn't have to take Zyrtec anymore within a couple weeks. I wasn't taking an antacid anymore that I had been taking for a couple years, you know, and I didn't have acid reflux anymore. It just vanished. So things just started changing, but I still had probably 50% of the issues, but I wholeheartedly was able to see a 50% reduction within probably 30 to 60 days just by changing my food in connection with the blood type. Now, I wasn't really balancing my nutrients or really eating maybe the amount of carbs or the amount of fats that I should, because I didn't really know at that time, but I knew I was eating the right blood type foods. But like, just because the sweet potato is the right blood type food doesn't mean you should eat 5 pounds of it. You know, like, I was eating too much of certain things. So it was good, but I was eating too much of it. So when I started studying the balancing aspect, when I really started diving into that, then I started manufacturing even more change with my health because my insulin pattern starting to change, you know, and it just really started to turn into my healing, you know, but it did start with that blood type, which was just something out of 22 different doctors, not a single person had even mentioned it. Honestly, they hadn't even asked me what I was eating. I asked to go to the dietitian. That was my idea.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
You know, I went to an infectious disease specialist. I went to, you know, I went to pulmonologist, cardiologist, everything you could possibly go to, and food was not the question.
Isn't that something? And that kind of brings me, thank you. You set me up really well here because, you know, I have a good friend that says everybody's got isms, you know, and here's some Debbie isms, right? I love this, Debbie, because sometimes this is not our mindset in the Nichols family. Let me just tell you. But you said food is food. It is not entertainment. Food is for survival.
Right.
It's not entertainment. You know, here's another one. Food is life or death. Choose life and eat clean. It's just,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I don't know who coined this. I don't know where this came from, but food is our medicine. You know, I mean, we hear these things,
absolutely.
But it's so true, right? And you are evidence, you're living proof that you started to feel differently when you really paid attention to your nutrition.
Absolutely. I mean, not only did I feel differently, I felt like I was going to live. I mean, I thought I was going to live and not die. I sincerely was claiming victory over my body, but there was still part of me that thought I might die, but at least I know where I'm going now because I had the faith,
yes.
You know, but I started to believe I was going to live because of the nutrition change. And that is why, part of why I'm so passionate today, because I watched it save my life and I know it can save others. And over 20 years of helping people, I've watched it save others. And they've been in dire straits the way I was, and food was the turnaround for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so powerful. Well, and you know, I'm just thinking, because I know this about you, Debbie, if you prioritize the different things in your life, you say, you know, it's faith first, faith, God first, your health second, and then everything else, you know. And sometimes I see people that'll say, oh, it's God, it's my family, it's my friends, my work, maybe health is way down here. Why do you think, Debbie, and I mean, and I'm not preaching, I'm preaching to myself, because I know sometimes that's the last thing on my list is my health. But why do you think that is for people? I mean, think maybe it is until it isn't.
Right. Well, right. In my case, I was working myself into the grave, and I was at a very, very young age, and I didn't know any different. I just had a strong work ethic. So I knew that that's what I should do. But then my health failed me. And what you learn really fast when your health fails you is that it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much power you have in a job. I had to quit the job. You know, I had to walk away from it all. My Corvette was sold. You know, I mean, like, there were a lot of things that happened to me, and it was humbling, and it was all because my health went away. Well, I need that to be a priority because I can be a better parent. I can be a better wife. I can be better at my job. I can be better for the Lord and the call that He has on my life if my health is at a place where it should be. So in my case, I had that literal thorn put in my side to tell me, but there are so many people that really, for lack of knowledge, they're on the path to perishing because they don't know that it should be the priority. And so I'm over here like in the stands, like screaming at the top of my lungs for the world to hear, like, hey guys, we have to make this a major priority or you're not gonna live the full life that you really should and could, you know? And then I'm believing God for the medical community to change. You know, it's doctors like Bashima Williams, they're saving lives because they're putting their patients with folks like me that do things that I do. But overall, I think people just don't know. Think about when you first met with me and the things that I taught your family. There were lots of eye-opening moments where, oh, I didn't know food could taste that good. Oh, I also didn't know that that food was causing a migraine and that food was causing the stomach trouble. That food promoted more pain in my body. You didn't know any of that. But if someone told you that as they were handing you the medicine, you might say, well, could I first try to take these foods out? And then if that doesn't work, then I'll take the medicine. If someone was telling you that at the same time, you would maybe make the decision to now make your health that big of a priority. It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of education. We're just not putting it out there in a manner that people can really receive it. And lately, it's being packaged in such a sales package to where let's sell this program, let's sell this product. What I want to sell is health, you know, and everybody has a different path to that. Everyone, you know what I mean? Yes. So it's get healthy first and then worry about how you look second, because the how you look comes natural if you're focusing on your health first. You know, it's mm-hmm. just a natural thing.
That's so good. I just remember Sawyer, because our whole family went in to meet with Debbie. I just remember Sawyer asking you, so Miss Debbie, now how about pizza? He kept wanting to know. Right. He kept wanting to say something different about pizza, which is so funny. But
right.
But today, right. You know, since 2013, you've been an owner of Integrity Training Systems. You also own Sophie's Bakery, which I want to talk about more. You and your husband, John, have a talk show, a radio show called Faith, Fuel, and Fitness, The Integrity Way. You've authored several cookbooks. I've got them all here on my desk, Debbie, several cookbooks. You do master cooking. You do so many things, but I would love for you to at least tell like about Integrity Training Systems and Sophie's Bakery. Tell our listeners about that in case they want to somehow get involved.
Integrity Training Systems is a local business in O'Fallon, Missouri. We are a personal training studio. We do offer a membership to our personal training clients. They can come in and use the facility anytime that they would like, but we don't sell outside memberships. It's just for personal training. We really work with the people to identify where their structural weaknesses are, really teach them how to be more flexible, more mobile. Then we focus on strengthening and really changing the body composition. But improving structural integrity is such a priority for us because we want better lymphatic flow. We want the person to feel less swollen, less inflamed, all by what they're doing and the type of exercise that they're doing. And then we start to figure out what makes sense for their body for them to be doing. My trainers are amazing. I have a bank of trainers that have basically been with me from the beginning, and I legitimately consider them family. I mean, we are a family here. What you'll find when you come into Integrity is life and light and hope and possibility for change and for a better new life for you. And when you look around, you'll see people just like you fighting for the change, and you'll be inspired to work harder and to stay committed. It's just a fabulous place. And I do a 6-month nutrition program where I meet with people one-on-one. It is a wonderful way to really help to, it's like the catalyst for change, just like it was for me with my body. And then we do an online master's nutrition program where I cook for an entire hour with people, teaching them how to make food taste great. And then the second hour, I teach them about exercise and nutrition. And we really go into the details of discipline and how to stay committed. It's just been such a blessing to be able to offer what we do to as many people as we have. And over the years, we've just witnessed so many just dramatic life changes because of it.
Well, tell us about Sophie's Bakery. And I have, honestly, I've got more questions here, Debbie. So I want to make sure we get through because there's some other good stories here that I really want to dig into. But tell us about Sophie's Bakery.
Well, Sophie's Bakery is a gluten-free, dairy-free, very nutrient-dense bakery here local that will deliver to you weekly. We do all of our baking on Mondays. You have to place an order on Sundays by the end of the day at sophiesbakery.com. And then we will bake for you on Monday. Then we deliver it to you, or our integrity location is a pickup location. We make pumpkin chocolate chip muffins that are full of protein, chocolate muffins that are full of protein, and then chocolate chip cookies, which is really what we're known for, is those chocolate chip cookies are kind of our famous, you know, item. We do have some seasonal items like chocolate brownies and banana nut bread and pumpkin bread. But for the most part, our muffins and cookies are really our primary offerings. And they are very dense. You know, so my daughter has one for breakfast every day. It's a great afternoon snack. And they will not make the blood sugar spike because they have great almond flour and coconut oil in them. Wonderful products and great for a person dealing with autoimmune or allergy issues or any type of like special dieting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I want our listeners to know, I do not get any kickbacks from Debbie or any commissions. No. When I say this, but we are frequent people for Sophie's Bakery. And we've received Sophie's Bakery from people as gifts. We purchase Sophie, you know, put your order in by Sunday and you'll get them delivered on Tuesday. They're just fantastic. So Debbie, there's so many more things I want to talk about here with flexibility, all kinds of things, but just a couple more questions. So John, your husband, has a pretty tremendous story. And I just remember you guys being at our barn one night and you guys, John, telling us the story. And I was so moved by it. So I would love for you just to tell his story to our listeners because it might inspire one of them as well and give them hope.
Absolutely. Well, I was working out of another gym, you know, many years ago. John and I have been together for 10 years now. And one of the business owners said, I have a friend that's in trouble. He had a heart attack. Can you help him? He's going through a divorce and he really needs some help. And so I said, sure. So I walked him back into my office and met with him. And we really worked hard at changing his food, but we also really worked hard at changing John's spirit because he was really in a dark place. It really was going to take a lot to get him to be able to overcome. He had nearly committed suicide not long prior to the heart attack. He was a police officer and was going through a divorce and really was struggling. And so he ended up doing nutrition with me and lost 100 pounds within an 8-month period of time. He decided that he loved what I was doing so much that he wanted to quit law enforcement and become a personal trainer. He really changed his life with food. He is a recovering alcoholic. He removed alcohol. He was addicted to pain medication and Xanax. He removed all of the medication. Food transformed him. All of this happened at the same time. He eliminated the alcohol. He eliminated the medication. He changed his food. He lost the 100 pounds. He got to a place to where he started living in faith. And one day he just came to me and said, you know, Debbie, I would like to court you. And I said, what do you mean? You want to take me out on a date? And he said, well, no, I know I want to marry you. I want to have some time to convince you that you want to marry me. And I said, wow, okay, well, I haven't been out on a date in 3 or 4 years, but I'm going to go straight to marriage. But he was just that strong of a force. I don't know how to explain it, but he really was. And I looked at him and I thought, gosh, you know what? I guess God's able to do exactly that. You know, he's able to really pull someone into your life that way. And every time I would spend time with him, I would know that he was the person that I was meant to be with. And we just We are the yin and the yang. I mean, he makes me laugh and he makes me less serious. And I open the window to more serious and more development in him and him growing in different areas. And we just help each other so much. But he has overcome tremendous hardship. Yes. And I mean, mm-hmm. I like to think I have, but I mean, tremendous. He has traumatic brain injury from some cage fighting that he did, extreme levels of PTSD from some very serious situations he's been through. And he's put the time and effort in for the healing every step of the way. I know he gives God all the glory, but that nutrition was the first catalyst to the change. It's what made him pour out the alcohol, pour out the drugs. It's what made him open his eyes to see that there was a possibility for a new life, where just months prior, he had put his duty pistol in his mouth, thinking that he may end his life. So it's just a remarkable story. And now John is a trainer. And so, and he has been for, 9 years now. And so when people meet with John, they know he'll look at them and say, I was addicted to sweet tarts. You know, I know where you're coming from. You know, when they say, I'm so used to being able to have sugar, and, you know, he can just relate, and they love him. But for that reason, he's an amazing trainer for that reason, you know?
Yeah. You guys are fun to watch because you truly are partners in life and just definitely a force together, Debbie. So I love that story. Well, we've already talked about this a little bit, but before we talk about something extra, you know, you and I, because you are juggling, you're a plate spinner or a ball juggler or whatever metaphor you want to use. But you and I've talked about this a lot, Debbie, and you know, one of the ways that you create this harmony in your life is that you truly are a believer in outsourcing things as much as you can. And I realize that sometimes, you know, there may be listeners that say, you know, I don't really have the funds to outsource that right now. And I understand that. We were there once too, you know, and I know you understand that as well. But, you know, really and truly, you and I've talked about this. There are things, you love your dogs, but, you know, just an example, Debbie, you have somebody come over and feed your dogs and let your dogs out so that you can have that time to do more of what only you can do, right? And I just think that's great advice for anybody to kind of stratify the work a little bit.
You know, I just have tried to identify with what little blocks of time that I could find. And it isn't even just so I can work more. It's so I can connect with God deeper. They might come over and walk my dogs, but then my dogs will come in the room with me and I might fast and pray for an hour and a half where I maybe wouldn't have had that time if I didn't have that help. And, you know, I've had folks help me in so many different areas of my life, but then that's blessed them as well. You know, and I've watched those people then develop into, you know, more than what maybe they were going to become, because you've been able to speak faith into their life and show them that they can grow into something even bigger and better, you know. But absolutely believe in it. Absolutely. And in every way that you can. And there's been years where I couldn't afford it financially, but there were things I could do for other people that then they could then do something for me. I could do nutrition for someone, but then they were able to come in and provide something for my household. I just found a formula to make it work or to make it fit and to keep opening doors to have more time with God and to hear from him more clearly on how I should organize my life and my day so I can be the best I can for my family and my business, but most importantly for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. So good, Deb. And, you know, we don't have time to go into this, but, you know, this is not all there is. I mean, God's given you an even bigger vision, you know, and you and I have talked about this, and it's just going to be so fun to see how all of that manifests itself and plays out. But I have to ask you, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe, Debbie, is the something extra that every leader needs?
Well, I think it's kind of twofold. I believe it's faith and vision. Living a life without faith, which I've done it, and I worked in business, and I am a much more effective leader now that I have faith. And then vision, and that vision comes from the Lord. I have to have faith that I'm doing what I should be doing, right? And then I have to have faith in even the difficult times where it doesn't seem like things are coming in like they should, that that vision that's in front of me is one that came from God. And that if I keep chucking along here and I keep working the plan and I keep going down the path that he's put me on, that the vision will come to pass. But if I didn't have faith, I would give up every time it would look difficult or every time a challenge would come around the corner. And so just his leading and just understanding that he's with me every step of the way, but truly faith and vision and just that heart and that passion to really serve that purpose is so important.
Well, Debbie, I knew this was going to be rich, but it's rich to the nth degree here. I just thank you so much. I know how busy you are. So thank you for being on the Something Extra podcast. I know that your words are going to help our people, you know, that are listening. So, and I hope that they reach out to you. I know that you'd be. Yes, absolutely. So thank you again.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.